elegant technology, economic prosperity from an environmental blueprint. Written by Jonathan Larson. Read by the author. What is elegant technology? Well, let's start with a simple definition. Elegant technology is the tools, methods, and institutions necessary to create a sustainable society. What are the basic assumptions of elegant technology? 1. Technology is driven by social and cultural cues. 2. Current technology is destroying the biosphere. 3. Going backward in history is impossible, especially in a technological sense. 4. Humanity needs new, dynamic, elegant technologies and social organization if civilizations are to survive. Elegant technology is very much about the subject of economics and political economy. Why? Because without money and supportive social institutions, elegant technology is just an idle dream. Elegant technology takes as its most fundamental premise that the Industrial Revolution is irreversible because industrialization is simply a strategy for organizing necessary work. We cannot go backward to the Garden of Eden in spite of all hope. Necessary though it may be, industrialization has an internal contradiction, environmental destruction. Because industrialization cannot nor will not disappear, the only possible solution lies in resolving this contradiction by inventing and building a new environmentally sound industrial state. In this book, the hardware of the new industrial order is called elegant technology, while the social, political, and economic software is called industrial environmentalism. Elegant technology addresses both aspects of the new industrial order and seeks to answer the following questions. Why have we missed this most obvious answer to our industrial-based economic dilemmas? How must economic and social thinking change so that a conversion to an industrial environmental society is possible? What would the new technology look like based on existing technological possibilities? Elegant technology is an attempt to describe the root causes of the industrial environmental dilemmas facing the developed nations from the point of view of those who invented them. The book is organized into three parts. The People of Industrialism describes the history and values of the builders of the modern state. The Economics of Industrialism draws careful distinctions between pre-industrial and industrial thinking concerning money, capital goods, etc. The Industrial Environmental Solution describes the possible society available if economic and social thought would align itself with the value of the builders. Summaries. The People of Industrialism. Advanced industrial societies are merely the highest flowering of civilizations based on agriculture. But agricultural societies are plagued by a persistence of predators. The most serious predators are human. Human predation has many manifestations, from the crude to the very sophisticated. The methods used by the predators have included slavery, feudalism, imperialism, usury, ground rents, tithes, and taxation. To improve their lives, the producers have resorted to religious movements, cultural challenges, and most importantly, radical changes in production. This last effort gained for the producers the single most important change in history, the Industrial Revolution. By transferring the burden of predation from their shoulders to the biosphere. The producers gave to the industrial states history's highest general standard of living. A shift to the exploitation of nature clearly has limits. The social and political problems of human predation have not diminished as a result of the Industrial Revolution. But the dominant problems of the late 20th century, such as toxic waste, groundwater pollution, deforestation, soil erosion, and resource depletion, are those associated with the efforts of the producers. The problems of the producer civilization are as life-threatening as warfare. The industrial state has already sown the seeds of its own destruction. This is true whether the system is called capitalist or communist. In order for technology to be understood in a sociological sense, it is useful to understand the creative roots of technology. In many ways, technology is Protestant art. A philosophical link is established between the industrial designer and the product. Because the values necessary to become a successful producer are very different from the dominant predator values in society, these values are described in depth. Even though most of these values are quite laudable, the producers can cause many problems by the very nature of their work. Because predators make problems for producers, who in turn cause problems for the biosphere, an argument is made that the time has come for both forms of exploitation to cease. Failure to do so will bring on the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The economics of industrialism. The best way to understand production is to understand tools, how they are created, how they affect social organizations, and their economic implications. When all other factors of production are equal, industrial design becomes the critical variable. Because this is true, design becomes the dominant economic motor in enlarging the economic pie. But if design is the critical element in the growth of productive capability, the financial systems are the main form of industrial sabotage. In the 1980s, monetarism and high interest rates have exacerbated the problem. The result is that worldwide, virtually all forms of productive activity are facing huge, man-made difficulties at precisely the time when new and better production methods are necessary to address growing environmental problems. The industrial environmental solution. Because industrialization cannot be abandoned in anything except a symbolic way, the only practical method is to redesign the industrial process to mimic the processes of the ecosphere. If technology has created the means for biological destruction, it can be made to solve the environmental problems as well. And if it cannot, nothing else will either. So, problem by problem, the possibilities for an industrial environmental future are discussed. Because these are huge projects, the kind designed to put the industrial civilization back to work as well as fix the environment, an inquiry is conducted on the financial rearrangements necessary to get these projects done. The American obstacles to an industrial environmental future, while not insurmountable, are formidable. Fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, these hurdles are not technological, but cultural. America can have a brighter future by changing its thinking about its values, politics, and economics. While the decision to have an industrial environmental future is mainly cultural, the critical decision is to allow the industrial civilization to do the planning. Only they have any experience in this matter. Politically motivated industrial planning has been a notable failure. personal note about why this book was written. Elegant Technology is not a book about technology so much as about the people who create technology. I find this is a very interesting group of people, and they don't appear very often in the history books. And I have often wondered why. So, after witnessing a very intense effort to bring an invention to market in the early 1980s, I decided I would write a book about the kind of people who try such things, because the ones that succeed truly change the world. It is almost impossible to imagine a world without, for instance, the telephone. The book starts out with a history lesson. Like most of you, when I was a senior in high school, I thought I would never read a history book ever, because I had found history classes to be just dreadful and dull. And in some ways, I still feel that way. However, in the intervening time, I read about 1,000 history books. And the reason is I found out that there are two kinds of history. You have the history of the princes and the generals and the people who start wars. And you have the history of the people who build things. The ones who built the cathedrals and figured out how to mass produce steel and build the railroads and build powered ships that go on the ocean just easily. And I discovered that this history is like really, really, really interesting. And it's the history about people who decide to do very difficult things and try to do them very well. Ooh, this isn't about princes and stupid wars and folks marching slowly into machine gun fire. So this book will start out with a history lesson. And it's a history lesson of how the world actually looks to the people who make things. Now, why do I do this? It's because history is important. I have discovered that if you don't understand history at some level, you are essentially condemned to think as a child your whole life, because at best you think that the world sprung into existence fully formed the day you were born. If you don't know history, that's the only conclusion you can come to. But if you do know history, you know from where you came, and if you know from where you came, you have a pretty good idea of where you are. And if you know where you are, you have a pretty good idea of how to get where you want to go. In short, knowing history is a simple navigational problem for someone who wants to go through life in some orderly fashion. So it is important that we understand how the people who built the world we live in thought and acted and organized their lives, because in many ways this world is breaking down. We have a roof over our head, but the roof has a hole in it, and we have to fix it. We have these incredible problems that are bearing down on us like freight trains. The end of the age of petroleum. Climate change. The death of the oceans. Oh, and then the little problems like, you know, all those nuclear power plants we have all over the place? Well, most of them are about to wear out, and we have no idea what we're going to do with the old ones, and we have no idea how we're going to finance something better. We've allowed the science of alternative energy to fall in the hands of bit players. All the while, our energy companies make so much money, they literally don't know what to do with it. So, elegant technology may start out with this kind of bizarre little history lesson, but stick with it. Because as we go along, you're going to realize that these parts are important towards solving the dilemmas that we face as a human race. And guess what? A lot of these problems were created by small mistakes, bad decisions of the people who built the societies we live in. So, if we want to do it better, we have to know how they did it in the first place. So we have to have a history lesson. We have to understand how these people thought about tools. We have to understand how they financed their projects. And when we understand all this, we will understand what we can do about it. This is the goal of this book. I hope you enjoy it.